October 11th, 1975, NBC premiered a new live comedy show. It was called Saturday Night, and America discovered Gilda Radner. The Detroiter was a member of that original cast, dubbed the Not Ready for Primetime Players. And it didn't take long for America to decide it was in love with Gilda. When ovarian cancer took her life in 1989, Gilda Radner was only 42. It felt like losing a dear friend. The film Love, Gilda gives us a chance to rediscover that friend through her own voice, her own words, and home movies. I spoke with film producer Meryl Goldsmith, as well as Gilda's brother, Michael Radner, when the film came out last year. Meryl, this is so not the typical documentary where there's someone doing a voiceover narration about the story. You've got Gilda. We hear her voice. We hear the words she'd written in her journal. So where did this treasure trove of source material come from?
It actually came from Michael, from his attic. I know Lisa, when she first started to look into doing a documentary about Gilda, she was put immediately in contact with Michael. And Michael can tell you about when they finally went in and cracked open the Gilda archives, which it had tons and tons of material we were able to use.
Michael, why was this the project you were willing to share so much with, both in terms of your memories of your sister, but especially all of this source material?
Well, what happened was Lisa had started out, she had been doing volunteer work, making volunteer videos for Gilda's Club in New York City, where she lives. And she was starting to make a video about how the members of Gilda's Club and Gilda connected. So she came into town and she was talking to me. And I said, by the way, I've got all this stuff that's been piled up here of Gilda's that I had not really spent any time going through. And she took a look, and that changed everything. Suddenly, the movie expanded, and she realized I had journals and tapes and all sorts of things. And in talking to Lisa and knowing her, I trusted her. And I let her go through all these things, and she realized there was a movie there, and there was a movie where Gilda could tell her own story, which was important, as opposed to somebody else telling her story.
Yeah, it's tremendously powerful to hear her words. I know you take us, Meryl, in the film through Gilda's girlhood in Detroit, and we see how that she discovers theater in high school at University Liggett when it was still in Detroit, and then went to the University of Michigan as a theater major, but she didn't graduate.
Yeah, no, she didn't graduate. She was really close. She followed a guy to Toronto and ended up, that's actually where she launched her career, so it worked out anyways. But I'm a university alum, and I know we're still proud of Gilda anyways, even though she didn't graduate. So.
And going to Toronto, as we see in Love, Gilda, you're right, it led to her first professional theater gig and then on to New York after John Belushi invited her to be the girl for the National Lampoon Radio Hour, and then Lorne Michaels choosing her for that first cast of Saturday Night.
Hi, I'm Gilda Radner, and, okay, now.
I found that my comfort in live television was laughter, that I can do almost anything if people are laughing. That's what hugs me and holds me and gets things out of me.
Michael, when did it hit her that she was famous, she was a celebrity, and how did that affect her?
Well, it affected her at some point. She realized that if she wanted to get a package of chewing gum, she couldn't go to the store by herself because people would be stopping her and honking at her and everything else. So stardom has its advantages and disadvantages, but it didn't really change her in terms of her personality. She was basically a good, nice person around NBC. She treated the guy who swept the floor as well as she treated the president of the corporation. I mean, that was the kind of person she was.
Meryl, you show us in the film how Gilda was able to find the ability to be funny in the face of a very unfunny disease. It certainly didn't happen right away.
I kept thinking there must be a purpose to this somewhere, that a comedian who does, you know, Roseanne, Rosanna, Dana, and all this stupid stuff gets the most unfunny thing in the world. How am I going to get people to laugh about it, to be able to speak the words, to be able to not be afraid to be treated for it?
She said, you know something? My jokes are my only weapon against this.
Tell us about the solace she found at the wellness community.
Oh, that was just wonderful for her. And you could just see in the film what an important place it was for her, because I think for people who have cancer, I'm sure it feels like you're alone. And when she walked through those doors, she no longer felt that way. And she felt she had a community of friends who she could laugh with and talk with and just forget about cancer and have a place to really be a second home. After she passed away, you know, Jean and Joanna both started Gilda's Club, which had a similar mission, which was a place where people could go, people with cancer, their family, their friends can go and have a community and support system.
And Gilda's been gone since 1989. That's nearly 30 years, but boy, not forgotten. I think one of the most touching parts of the film is seeing today's very, very hot comedians, Amy Poehler and Melissa McCarthy and Cecily Strong and Bill Hader, when they're holding Gilda's journal so reverently and emotionally reading her words aloud, or just say her name. We saw this here at the office. People melt. Michael, why do you think Gilda still matters so much to people 3 decades after she died?
Well, for one thing, people thought she was very funny, but also she had an effect on people. You fell in love with her. There was just something real and lovable, and she just made people happy. And, you know, just going back a little bit with first Gilda experiencing support groups at the wellness community and then Gilda's Club getting started, where Joanna Bull and Jean took all the best things from the wellness community and built in even more at Gilda's Club. And as you know, there's a Gilda's Club here in Metro Detroit and one in Grand Rapids. And they're just wonderful places. When I am someplace that involves Gilda, people come up to me and tell me how important Gilda's Club has been to them. This is part of Gilda's legacy. And they go on and on about how it's changed their lives and how it's helped them deal with cancer, them, their families, their friends. So I'm just, I got to put the pitch in. Gilda's Clubs are there. Everything is free. They need support, and I want people to support them year-round because they do make a difference in people's lives.
That was Gilda Radner's brother Michael and film producer Merrill Goldsmith as they talked about the film Love, Gilda, which came out in theaters last year.